and welcome back to Swanner and Judd Review. I'm Tom Swanner.
This is Brian Judd.
Oh, and it's been such an exciting week, hasn't it? Entertainment. Oh my God. Well, for instance, this week on RuPaul, on what happened was they were down to the top five, and they brought in dancers from RuPaul's Drag Race Live in Vegas, the male dancers, and they and they had to turn the male dancers into their sisters or their daughters, their drag daughters. So they're looking for like them to look more like each other, but not identical. But you know, I mean, they'll call you on it, and then they go, well, you know, at least they looked like they were family members. So the Sephora, who's got to win the show. She's got to win the show. She was in the bottom, and for good reason. Her outfit sucked. It was terrible. It was just the outfit that she had brought to do for this particular thing wasn't made to dance in, and they had to do some dancing. And, you know, they didn't do enough dancing to really make it. She should have worn the outfit. Anyway, she was in the bottom the girl from Miami. So the two of them are against each other. And I thought the other girl did a much better job with the lip syncing for her life, but they got rid of her because Sephora's supposed to be winning the show. You know, it's like if Jinx Monsoon had a terrible particular week, there was no way they were going to dump, you know, it's that kind of thing. And then, you know, and even on pit stop later, they go, well, you know, she was in the bottom. This is her fourth time in the bottom. But, you know, I did think her lip sync was better. But, you know, four times in the bottom. And they just want to go. And fucking Sephora is going to win the show anyway. So it doesn't matter. So it was very exciting. On The Bachelor, we finished The Bachelor up this week. And basically, I think her name was Kelsey. It's the girl I don't even remember in the show. And there was a really nice girl. She had the hearing aid that she was born deaf, and then they had some kind of implant, and also
cochlear implant.
Yes, it's amazing. Anyway, so, and she was really cute. Her family owns a Christmas tree farm. I mean, talk about your goddamn Hallmark movies. It should have been her. Or
I knew a family that owned a Christmas tree farm, and the boys were fucking weird.
Okay, well, that's good. Or Maria,
just saying.
Those were my two favorites, and he didn't take them. And then I don't even
know. Mom was a real oddball too.
Yeah, and let's see, Christmas. Okay, yeah. And then they announced the new Bachelorette, and I didn't even know who she was. And it's like they had all these girls to pick the top five. Or the two through five didn't take them. No, they took this other girl. I don't know who she is. So I don't know. I'm really not looking forward to the Bachelorette now because of this.
You're going to love it.
It's left me hardened. And then not that kind of hardened in the heart.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Not hard on. So, let's see. Anyway, American Idol, we finished the auditions. We're going to Hollywood now. So tonight's episode will be Hollywood, and we're finally getting there. Thank God. Let's see. Survivor. Oh, it was pretty funny because on Survivor, we're 5 weeks in and only one tribe has ever seen tribal council. So it was just terrible.
What does that mean?
Well, that's when, if you lose the challenge, there's three teams. You lose the challenge. The first two are safe from tribal council. The loser goes to tribal council, and they have to vote out one of their own members. And so one team was just so awful that they voted out the first three of their people, and nobody had lost anybody except for one team lost one because he got hurt. So that was the only week that they didn't lose somebody technically from their team, but no one was actually voted out that week. That guy just got sent away on medical. And this week they won, they didn't win, but they came in second, so they didn't have to go to tribal council. So Jeff gets there and he's going, wow, look, it's really nice having somebody new at tribal council for a change, because the other two teams have never been there. They had no idea what it looked like. So that was fun. And so it's been keeping, I'm really glad, because the first 4 weeks, all we focused on was this misfit team. So now we're, you know, when we go to the challenges, I don't know who anybody is, because we haven't had any airtime with them because they're not.
Sure.
It's very frustrating.
Like an all new cast.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. This week on The Masked Singer, they unmasked. It was some lion. It was a really beautiful costume, very regal lion looking character. And it ended up being Billy Bush. Trump's bus boy, the guy on the bus that laughed.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, but he was on some hosting entertainment show.
Yeah, Extra. Yeah. That's the show that they were interviewing him for when Trump made the comments.
Grab him by the pussy.
Mm-hmm. You know, they like that.
Well, when you're a celebrity, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, that's true. So You Think You Can Dance. We got our top 10. And it looks like they're going to do, I don't know what they're doing. It looks like they're doing things a little bit differently. And I don't know that we're going to be voting people off every week. It seems like something is they didn't explain something to us, or I don't know. Usually we get they'd pick all the people that they wanted, and then they would go to choreography, and then we did some people there, and then we'd go to a hip hop class, and then we did some people there, and then until we whittle it down to the top 10, they just said, okay, this is the top 10, bye bye. And then, so I think they're doing an expansion of the show. It's morphing into something. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's see. And there's like this really cute boy dancer. He's really cute.
Is he fat?
No, he's not fat. They're dancers.
Wow. Hey, Lizzo had all those fat dancers on her tour, so
yeah, but
it doesn't mean anything.
I know. But Lizzo is quitting the business, there's only a fat girl in Hairspray. Well, and a fat guy that plays her mother. So there's just not a lot of roles for heavy dancers in musicals.
Well, sure, but I would think that on a show like So You Think You Can Dance, or
get away with it, and
for the diversity aspect, they would need a fat dancer.
Well, I'll tell you, if you are a fat dancer, you can get a lot of work. You know, if you're a good fat dancer, especially on Broadway or probably Broadway or that kind of a career. You could tour around and how to succeed in business without trying, because they always need a fat guy in that one.
Sure.
And Fiddler on the Roof. And you could probably throw one in Hello, Dolly. Yeah.
Nicely Johnson from Guys and Dolls.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
King Herod, Jesus Christ Superstar.
What has Nathan Lane played? Okay. There we go. There's your list.
Josh Gad.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero Mostel.
The guy from the 25th annual spelling contest. He's chubby dancer too. So.
The guy that's not Josh Gad.
Yes, the not Josh Gad guy. Interesting. You know, when I first saw the copy I saw of Book of Mormon, the fat guy was Ben Platt. Yes, he was the chubby one. It was totally weird. I'm like, wait, I thought this is the snowman character. But it's just a stomping ground for people. You know, it's Book of Mormon because they've got a lot of male characters and they need to get them, you know, so people come in and out. It's got to be like, who's playing the daughters in Fiddler, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Bette Midler was on Broadway in Fiddler on the Roof playing the daughter.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's see, Tournament of Champions. This is the Guy Fieri thing with all the celebrity chefs, and we're down to the top eight. And there were some we lost one of because the four winners over the last 4 years, they were all back. They were the top seeds, and one of them was out in the first round, and then we just lost another one in this round. So we're down to just two of the remaining winners. So we're going to see what's going with that. That's fun. Good show. Spring Baking Championship is going on right now.
Is that the British one where they're all
No,
polite?
no, no.
Oh,
Spring
okay.
Baking. That's the British baking. It will get them
I don't
right.
know.
Okay. Spring is they've got
They've all got baking something in the
Jesse, who
competitions
was
and
originally a bachelor, went on to do hosting, and now he's the new host of The
oh my
Bachelor.
God.
He's the host of this one. He's really good, kind of holding it together guy without being like dumb. And it's mostly because he's just very charming and adorable. But moving on, Spring Breaking. Yes. And this one has Dolph,
Lundgren.
the bake guy, yes. And it's they've got Nancy and then and this other woman from the Food Network. But Nancy, she is so funny because she's always doing this. She's going, okay, you said this is a rum cake, and I'm not getting enough rum. I need more rum. And if they say any kind of alcohol, if it's not oozing out of its pores, it's
Sure.
not enough alcohol for her. And they just have a great time making fun of her alcoholism. It's really good. But it is funny. Nothing, actually, it still is okay to be a fun drunk in the world, as long as you've got,
Yeah.
there, well, I won't say drunk. You got to be function. Drunk sounds like you're drunk all the time, but
Sure.
drinking is, it has not been,
Although I don't know, I bet you if they took it as far as, let's say, like a Dean Martin or a Foster Brooks, because I remember how sloshy Foster Brooks used to
Oh yeah,
play it,
he was sloshy, very sloshy.
that would not go over.
Right. I'm just saying, it's like, God, oh my God. He realized that people who don't drink are like anymore like vegans. They really are. They just can't help but tell you why you're doing your life wrong.
Well, no, I'm laughing because the folks are going, Foster Brooks. Who the hell?
No, come on.
How old?
The people, yeah. Wait, I thought Swanner was the old one. Yeah. Yeah. Just a reference. I'm the same age as his parents, and but he's obviously the same age as his parents as well, because I'm always floored. Well, I remember when you and Michael would sit there and talk, and it's like you're talking like you were. It was 1973, and you're
Well,
talking
back in my
about,
day.
oh my God, I was watching this great episode of All in the Family last night, and it's like, but it sounded, all your references were correct for the time period. Like you were, it was scary. It was scary.
Watched it first run,
Top Chef. I told you last week that Manny, everybody on the net, the whole online. Fans are all swooning over Manny. He's just
Yeah.
he's and you. I think
Well,
you
he's
probably
the one I said
right.
looked like, oh shit, what a fuck.
Yes.
Darren Criss.
I guess. But he's super cute, super cute, and he's always very nice and friendly. And it's like, yeah, I could see it. Well, actually, I should say I did. Because I was like, oh, who's this? And then all of a sudden everybody else liked him too, so it was kind of a put off.
Well, you are a trendsetter.
Okay, I maybe that's what it is, right? Are you watching Girls Five Eva yet?
I finished Girls 5 Eva.
Okay, we're only in the second one where they refuse to change their act because the religious guy who owns all the places they're booked at
Oh, yeah.
sing some nice covers and Let's Go Home.
Well, yes. But not only that, his creepy wife who keeps hanging out in the shadows, Mother or Mordor, he keeps calling her.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's there making sure that she's a good host to the baby. You know, that she doesn't do anything that might cause a miscarriage or damage the fetus, or right. No, murder the child, as he would probably put it. I finished it, but the characterizations, the only one that I really like and who's never pissed me off has been Paula Pell.
Yeah.
But all the other characters at some point have done something that has just really irked me. Whether it's Wiki being Wiki or I don't know what the lead character's name is.
Sarah Bareilles.
You know, when they have the birthday party. Have you seen the birthday party yet?
No.
Okay.
I got pissed off at her when she got pregnant.
Oh, that didn't bother me, especially since I knew that the show was coming to an end. But she's such a, during the birthday party, she's such a wet blanket. And even Paula Pell, she's like, you know what? Just keep your mouth shut. The whole time you're here, don't say anything because you're going to fuck it up. And then, of course, she's a Darlene. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
She's almost a Darlene, which, ugh. But, yeah, I finished it, though. I really enjoyed it. As I did when it was, when they were teasing it to us on Peacock before Peacock decided to be fucking assholes. And hey, we're a pay service now. Go fuck yourself.
You know the her husband Andrew Reynolds in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? Yeah. So, he was seeing Water for Elephants when we were right across the street seeing The Notebook. I love Andrew Reynolds. I really do. Okay. Let's see. We watched Roadhouse. This is the Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor movie, Roadhouse.
Oh, sure.
It's on Prime right now for free. Well, if you got Prime, it's free.
Right.
And so it's a remake of the original Roadhouse, or basically it's just a remake of a Western where they hired, you know, the guy to come in and clean up the town. It's that kind of the same storyline, but Jake's really cute in it. So that helps, even though they shaved him up, which was sad, but it's supposed to be he played a UFC guy that killed somebody. And so he's, you know, I don't want to fight, you know, unless sure. I have to do that. But he sees what's going on in this town, and he's going to come and save the Roadhouse for the woman that he's met. And so that part of the show is good. You know, the whole setup's good, but then they bring in Conor McGregor, who plays it like he's the Terminator. You know, there's no character. There's not. He walks into rooms like, "I'm gonna beat everyone."
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's so one note, and it's too bad because he looks great in it. He looks really good, but nobody said, "Wait, what are you doing?" You know,
sure.
Play it cool. Don't play it like you're, you know, like you're just a killing machine, because machines don't have, you know, dimensions to them, and people like to see dimensions to characters. And it was just that was the bad part. And even though, you know, the fighting was all really good, it was just he was so stiff that it was hard to watch.
Sure.
Let's see. Oh, just want to share with the audience that I was or you probably that I was at a local store, and I just picked up some things, put them in my back seat. This guy goes, you know, you got any money? No, I'm sorry, I don't carry any cash. All right. And then he kind of circles around, and I was parked at, you know, on the where they have the compacts, because it's the trees right in front of you. You got the little green area.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The little island.
And so I see as I'm just opening up my door to sit down, the guy pulls down his pants in this little island, and bends over slightly and just it goes flying out of his ass like shit out of a goose. And if you've been around geese, you'll know what that is. It just flew out of him, and then he picked up his pants and walked away. It was and it actually, from what I saw, it looked pretty clean. So
Well, that's a
even
bonus.
yeah, at least he was clean.
Sure.
But he smelled really bad anyway, so it wouldn't
Wow.
really matter. But it looked like God, what is that? That dog do yellow. That's what it looked like. Dog do yellow.
Well, I can't imagine his diet is that great.
Yeah.
And he probably figured, you know, this guy's driving a Sentra from 2002. He's seen it all.
Well, you know, and what pisses me off is if I had actually been in the car, I would have filmed it. But I was in the process of getting into the car, and then I had to get in the car and, you know, shut the door really quick, because if I smell poop, somebody else's poop, I'm not good with that.
Oh, sure. Well, who is really?
I guess. Let's see. I just want to let everybody know, this is very exciting, that Hulu now has season 10 of Alone, and that is the reality show where they dump people in the middle of nowhere and hope they don't die. We're 3 episodes in, and we just lost 2 people. But it was interesting because the first two shows were actually introducing everybody, you know, but they didn't lose anybody until I think day 19, which is really actually quite late for them. 'Cause I mean, there was one season where I know they lost. No, there's been more than one season where they lose people in the first day. You know, they just, one guy twisted his ankle. He got caught between like two rocks, and it kind of, he almost broke his ankle, and they actually had to, I think they had to stretcher him out. He couldn't walk on it at all. Just that kind of stuff. And on day one, it's just, oh, just terrible. So we just lost two, and they were the two oldest characters too. Usually the older characters usually last further down the line. But what happened was they couldn't get any food. They literally could not, there where they got, one guy got dumped off, and he's in the first 16 days he had caught 11 fish, and sizable fish. So this guy's been eating all the time. And the two that left, they had no fish. They couldn't catch any fish. They had nets, they had, you know, lines and stuff, nothing. So that's why they went anyway. Still a good show. We really enjoy it. Just started a show called Three Body Problem on Netflix, which
Oh, yeah, I need to
I'm
add that
still
to my
trying to figure
list.
out what it is. But it's sci-fi, weird shit happening. We're into the second episode. It's eight of We're in 2 of 8 episodes.
Forgot. I was going to want to start that after Blue-Eyed Samurai, and I completely forgot about it.
Write that down. Well, it's there.
I'm adding it now.
Okay. Let's see. The other thing I watched this week was, remember the Netflix series Movies That Made Us, where they kind of do a little documentary on how a movie got made? It was I had heard that they had aliens, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to see how that got put together, because Ridley Scott wasn't a part of the new one, and I was never really sure. So I thought, oh, this will be interesting finding out what happened. And it was. It's funny, they had everything set up, and they forgot to talk to Sigourney Weaver. So they needed to, yeah, she they had the script done, they had plans for the production, and nobody had contacted her. So that was kind of funny. But after that, I watched the making of How They Made Halloween. And honestly, they were almost identical, because both Carpenter and Cameron had only made a couple small things, small movies before. Well, he had just made Terminator when he but it is just coming out. You know, Terminator was just coming when he was starting to make when he wanted to make Aliens. And don't ever call it Alien 2. It's Aliens.
You've lectured me.
Yeah.
Not that I've
So
ever taught, but I've heard your lecture. It
yeah,
wasn't at me, though.
no, but in the show they kept saying, so when Aliens 2, no, Aliens. They always corrected the narrator or anybody else in the show that would call it by the wrong name. But it was interesting that they both ended up in a re they were both in a relationship with a woman who ended up being their wife and their producer for years. And it was they really the similarity of the two stories was quite interesting. It really was. So yeah, they have sci-fis, they have comedies, and they have horror. So I'll probably go back and see how they made. I think it was. I know it was the Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, but I think there's another one I wanted to see too. Anyway, that's kind of it for me this week. What about you?
Well, so this week I was making a, well, you know, I finished Blue Eyed Samurai last week and I talked about
Right.
that. And then this week I was making a kind of a Japanesey type dinner. And whenever I sometimes, not when always, but sometimes when I cook an ethnic food, I'll listen to music of the area. So if I make Italian, it's Jerry Vale and Connie Francis, and I weep into my marinara sauce. Or if it's soul food, I'll listen to the actually Apple has a soul food mix of artists that played the Chitlin' Circuit, and all their songs are about food. So I'll listen to something like that. So I was making this Japanesey type meal, and I was just wanted to listen to Mako Kaji because it's either her or the guy that sang Sukiyaki. And Mako Kaji, I've known of her for a while. A couple of her tracks were featured in Kill Bill, and that's all I knew about her. So I decided, well, you know what, I'm going to let's see what this lady what she's done. Well, she was a Japanese actress before she was a singer. And she did a movie that actually Kill Bill was based on called Lady Snowblood. And much like Kill Bill and the Blue-Eyed Samurai, she is born, her mother is killed by these con men who steal all the villagers' money, kill her mother's boyfriend, beat and rape her over a period of 3 days. And of course, the mother goes to jail, has this child in prison, and tells this baby, you are now my vengeance. You must go out and find the people that did this to me and kill them. Half the movie is her growing up, learning karate, and then going off and murdering all the people that raped her mother, including a woman. But the woman didn't rape the mother. She was just part of the gang. But the movie was 1973. And I'd be curious to, because I've never watched any like karate movies or samurai movies, especially anything that's come from Japan. But as Lady Snowblood is, slicing these people open, the copious amounts of blood spraying everywhere was definitely featured, just as in Kill Bill, not to the extent of Kill Bill, of course, but as in Kill Bill, as in the animation of Blue Eyed Samurai. So I would like to, I am curious to know where that sort of spraying blood thing kind of came from, or who started that. I don't think it was Lady Snowblood, but it very well could have been. But the head
What year
comes
was
off and it's just
yeah what year
gushing
did
of blood.
what year was what year was
1973.
it? No, they had it before. I grew up in a household with a brother who liked to watch dubbed samurai movies all the time. So, you know, we had one
Sure.
TV. And it was that was always my favorite part, was just the bloodletting that went on. You know, they could cut off fingers, you know, and just blood flying out of all like they had arteries pumping, you know, right out of their fingertips. Yeah, good stuff. But I'm sure that wasn't the first, but
No, but I am curious to know where that came from, who was the first
yeah, that's an
to do
interesting one.
it. You know, because it wasn't America. I mean, American had its gore movies, but you know, like Herschel Walker didn't. I think it was Herschel Walker. God, Blood Feast. You know, he was more blood and guts, the gore stuff of it, but he didn't. He wasn't squirting blood all over the set like they
Yeah,
did in this.
which is very, that's because that's one of the things, that's practically the only thing I liked about Evil Dead, was how much blood they would throw out to the
Sure.
world. Yeah, but that's because that, I that makes me laugh, where you know, the gore just grosses me out most of the time. All they have to do is have like a dog take a shit right in the theater during a gory scene. You're going to have people vomiting everywhere.
Speaking of dog shitting, when my friend was in town, she had never seen Pink Flamingos,
Oh, yes.
which so we did a John Waters marathon, and we started with A Female Trouble because she
Which you
has that one
haven't.
she's seen in.
Okay.
And then I had asked her if she had ever seen Pink Flamingos. She's like, no. I'm like, oh, well, I have it in glorious high definition. So between the dog shitting at the end, or the dog shit scene at the end, and the Oompa Mow Mow guy's asshole
Oh yeah.
in beautiful HD, it was an experience.
Was she begging for hairspray at that point?
Well, then we watched Polyester, and then she was like, okay, I think I like his later works better.
Thank God you could take her back to even worse stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I know on
Mondo
Tubi, if you,
Trasho, you know, that was one of
yeah,
them.
and that's on Tubi or Pluto, and I watched that not too long ago, and that's painful to get through.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great. And then there's that scene where Mink Stole is using a rosary as anal beads on Divine, and they're in a church. And Divine is, and Happy Easter, everyone, because as the scene is going on, Divine is reading the Stations of the Cross. And the scene goes on for like, it feels like a half hour, but it's probably a good 10 minutes
Wow.
of Mink Stole and Divine, well, Divine getting a rosary shoved up her ass, as this over, and it's bad audio. And then at the end, when she gets raped, I don't know if the lobster rape is at the end,
Yeah, that's at the end.
but I, yeah, that one's re it's just, it's really hard to get
And
through.
remember that there's a whole, you know, for those of you in Los Angeles at the Academy Museum, they're doing they I think it's the John Waters thing is still up because everybody's going to see it. You know, but they've got, it's like a special section that's to John Waters and his career. And I believe they have screenings of some of these movies that you're talking about.
NPR just interviewed him. It's still up on their website, so it was sometime this week.
Was there anything we didn't know?
I didn't read it. I haven't read it. Not yet, at least.
And the reason
And go
is
ahead.
because John, we both had interviewed John Waters at one point, so
Yeah.
which was very, very exciting. Still is
Well,
very.
and I tried. I mean, I've read a couple. I read his book, Mr. Noah, No Liar Mouth. That was his first work of fiction. He released that last year, and that wasn't great. I tried reading Mr. Know-It-All, which he wrote after he did his hitchhiking tour across country. And he wrote a book on that, on the hitchhiking trip. And then Mr. Know-It-All, I think, is more of about how to make it big in Hollywood. And he's like, you know, go commercial. Go commercial. That's the only way you're gonna make money. Go commercial. There's no shame in it. I'm gonna I think I'll try and give that another a whirl and get through that one this summer. And then as far as karate movies go, you know, we had Lady Snowblood. I watched it's now off Netflix, but I watched Jim Kelly's Black Belt Jones on Netflix, which is, I don't know, it had to be 73, sometime between 73 and 75. And you know, the mob wants the dojo where he learned how to fight, and he's gotta you know, fight off the gangsters and the folks that are,
I remember
and it's
post.
Scatman Crothers who is the his sensei.
I can remember the way the poster looked, because I was big into the well, yeah, about that time I was big into the drive-ins, and that's what you got at the drive-ins were movies like Sunset, Black Belt Jones, and the women in prison movies. You know, those were always
Sure.
fun. And then you could also get, of course, the they'd have the weeks where they'd have the cannibal girls and all cannibal movies. That was always fun. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's just
As far as a blaxploitation movie, it was right there. You know, Denise watched it. My friend Denise, an older black lady, watched it first. And she reminded me that it was on Netflix. She's like, "Have you seen this bullshit yet?" So, are you kidding me? I said, that's my kind of movie. That's right up there at Foxy Brown and Cleopatra Jones
Yeah.
and all the rest of them.
Those were some fun movies.
And Jim Kelly was not a bad, he was not hard on the eyes, that's for damn sure. And he was shirtless quite a bit. Kind of like God, who played Mandingo? Ken Norton.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was a good poster, too.
Yeah, I have
No kidding.
that one on Blu-ray, but that's that one. That's a tough one to get through. That one you just don't just pop in.
Well, see, you know, that's why I was so upset at 12 Years a Slave that at the end he doesn't take revenge on the plantation and the own and the master, right? Because the movies I saw in the 70s, that was exactly what was going to happen. They were going to
That's
rape the
not what
white
happened in
man.
Mandingo.
Well, no, but I'm just saying they would, you know, they'd rape the white women and they'd burn the plantation to the ground and everyone's cheering. And then he got screwed over. It was terrible. It just 12 Years a Slave, terrible, terrible movie.
Well, like I said, that's not what happens in Mandingo, and I think that's kind of the reason. It's, well, one, it's so violent, and then the ending is just so awful that no one wins.
Yeah.
No one wins. Did I have anything else we were talking? Oh, Ken, not Ken Norton, Black Belt Jones. I don't have that one on Blu-ray, but I do have Enter the Dragon.
Oh.
So, and that one's got Black Belt Jones in it as well. I think that was his first movie, as far as the karate thing goes. So that was Bruce Lee. Oh, the guy with a terrible toupee. And now the black guy's name I
Foster
can't
Brooks. We're back to Foster Brooks.
remember. Foster Brooks didn't have a toupee. Maybe he had a toupee. Not as bad as this guy.
Okay.
God, his toupee was terrible. I should have, well, I wasn't planning on talking about that. But anyway,
We gotta
that
go.
wraps it up.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.